All right. Yeah, my name is Burton. That is either like Burton Cummings or like Burton the Snowboard. Pretty much covers every age gap of people here, I think. You will get it. You will get the spelling. It'll be good. I'm so excited to preach to you today. I'm actually really excited because I see a lot of new faces here. It's been a few months since I've got up here and preached, and I've been kind of wanting to get up here and chomping at the bit, but I've been working out of town, and I haven't been around, so I have this opportunity today, and I'm so thankful, and I give God all the glory, and I just feel like God has given me all authority to speak His word through His scripture, the Bible, which was given to us, and I'm so thankful that He has given me this opportunity. I'm so thankful to see all these new faces that I've seen here before. If you haven't heard me preach before, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's not a good thing. I don't know. I always get kind of feedback from both sides. Some people are like, oh, that was a really good message. And then some people don't want to talk to me because they're so convicted. But that's okay, because I feel like that's how we're called to be as Christians, right? We're either called to be hot or we're called to be cold. We're not called to be lukewarm. So you're either in or you're out. And after today's word, I think you're either going to be in or out. And that is great, because we want people here that are on fire for Jesus. Like Pastor Doug said, this is a family. And we want people in true, authentic relationships made in this biblical environment. And I just think the mission of this church and the vision of this church is so on point for what we need here today in our society, in our world. And I'm just so excited for this sermon series and this message. Let's open up with a word of prayer to start out. Dear Father, we just invite you into this place today, God. I ask that you take hold of this service. You direct the ship where to go today, where you want to take us, where you want us to end up. God, I pray that for the people here, that they would hear what you need them to hear. That it might not even be my words, Father, but you would speak to them something in their heart, so profound, so true, so poignant to today, God, something they need to hear today. We ask this in your holy, precious name. Amen. Well, we're on this series called His Divine Design. And God has this amazing, great design. And last week, Pastor Doug took us on a trip, on a journey, and we went through the universe, and we were going light years, and lifetimes, and we just kept going, and kept going. And the point was, you could never see it all. It is too great, too expansive, too big to take it all in. There's just so much space. The final frontier, right? And all that in God's creation and the amazing stuff He's done. Do you know God's greatest creation was you and it was me? Yeah. It was human beings. God said He made us in His image, which I think is phenomenal, because He has this amazing thing that we're never going to see of, and yet He calls us His greatest creation. And when God created us as His greatest creation, He also made a place for us to live. And it was called the Garden of Eden. And it was also an amazing creation by God. And I believe that was God's design, for us to live in peace and harmony with God, where we could walk with God, we could talk with God, be in constant relationship with God our Father who made us. The Garden of Eden, that design was perfect. But unfortunately, that design got fractured because something called sin entered the world. Because we know the story, Adam and Eve, they chose to do the one thing that God asked them not to do, the one thing. And because they listened to a deceiver who lied them and tricked to them, then we must suffer being apart from God and being separated. That's all sin does. Sin just separates us from God. Originally, we're in constant relationship with Him in the Garden of Eden. How beautiful is the Garden of Eden? I mean, there's everything there for us to live forever. No pain, no sorrow, no disease, no inflictions. It's just perfection. And this is God's design for us to be in a loving relationship with Him. And God also designed us to be in a loving relationship with one another, for us to get together, to live in unity. I feel like the same thing's happening today. We have God's design that will prosper us and it'll give us eternal life. And then there's the alternative design, Satan's design. And that's just going to bring lies and destruction. Satan looks to steal, and he looks to destroy, and he looks for death. The prince of darkness. Darkness, the opposite of light. So we have darkness, and we have light. We have God's design, and then we have Satan's design. And in God's sovereignty to us, he allows us to choose. We have a choice. We can pick one or the other, but we must make a choice. No choice is still a choice. We can't kid ourselves. Jesus, you know, he came to this earth poor, and he took on human form. And this is the story that we talk about at Christmas, right? He came as a baby. He was pure, and he lived this life free from sin, a life that none of us could live, right? He never sinned. He never fell away. He was always trusting in God, believing in God. And then he was put to death on a cross, and he died a criminal's death that we deserved. That was supposed to be us up on that cross, but Jesus took our place. And because of this, we can accept Jesus as that perfect sacrifice, and we can renew that relationship with God again. Right? God had the Garden of Eden. It didn't work out. God tried to send prophets over and over, and it didn't work out. And finally, God came up with this design to send his son, his one and only son. Jesus bridged the gap between us and God. And I titled my message today, Bridging the Gap. Jesus restored that relationship that our hearts so desperately long for. John chapter 3, verse 16, this is a very well-known passage. You see it on signs at sports games and events. It's the first Bible verse most people learn. And it might seem a little mundane, me preaching on this, but I listened to Billy Graham, and he almost spoke about this every single message, so I know it doesn't get old. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This is God's design, to renew a right relationship between us and him. And as I said before, I titled this message, Bridging the Gap. And I've shown that Jesus is the ultimate bridge between us and God. He's the only way to have a relationship with God. But today, I don't want that to be our focus. I just want this to be a starting point to an even greater truth. Today, as I speak, I hope that there can be a little shift in your thinking. I hope that you're not the same way when you leave. I hope that something inside you can change, that you can understand that there is a greater truth that we can't miss out, a greater design that God has for us. And that truth is simply this. Those of us here as followers of Christ, if you're still on this earth, is for one purpose. Just one. And that is to bridge the gap between Jesus and non-believers. You see, in the same way that Jesus bridged the gap between us and God, we are called to bridge the gap to those people who are still out there and still need him. It's so simple. It is. It's so simple. This is a simple message today. It should be what we think about every day. It should be the center of our thoughts. It should be where we put all our energy, all our time, all our money, all our effort should be put towards this one thing, bringing people to Jesus. Yeah. Right? Bridging the gap between Jesus and those who need him most. The word God gave me here today, it was have my people do my will. Have my people do my will. And if you're his people, and if you're called according to his name, which many people are here today, then this is for you. You have to do the will of God. And we'll get back to that. Jesus told a parable, Luke chapter 15. It was about a shepherd, and he had this flock of sheep, 100 sheep, in fact. And one day he was counting his sheep, and he got to 99, and he realized that one was missing. So he goes and he leaves those 99 sheep and he goes and he finds that one sheep. And he searches high and low and he finds that one sheep. And when he finds that one sheep, he is so excited and he knows that everything in him had to find that one sheep. Now if you had $100 and you lost $1, you would not leave the $99 to find that $1, right? Because the value of the $99 is so much greater than the $1. But to the shepherd, the one sheep who is lost is much, much more valuable than those 99 sheep that are safe in the pen sitting over there. So the shepherd wants to do everything in his power to go and find that one sheep. And this is the same with us and God. With those who are not in a relationship with him, God wants to find the lost. That's why Jesus tells us this parable, because the lost are so important. God's so concerned with people who are not in a relationship with him. We need to be just as concerned for all those people who are not in a relationship with Jesus. We can get distracted. We can get preoccupied. We can come to church. We can treat it as a social club. We can hang out. We can grow spiritually and strengthen each other, but we forget that that's not what's important. Not the 99, but the one. Jesus tells another story in the same chapter. This is a story about a father and two sons. And the youngest son comes to the father and he says, "Hey, Dad, can I have my share of the inheritance? Like, I know you're not dead yet, but I want what's coming to me right now. I want it now." And the father, in his love, he agrees and he says, "Yep, here you go, son. You can have half of what I owe you, half of everything I own." So the son, he goes, takes this money, got a new lease on life. He goes out in the world. What does he do? He blows it. He spends it on things of the earth. He spends it on carnal, evil things, and he's left with nothing. Right about that same time, there was a famine that hit the land, so that no one was generous. No one would give him anything to eat. He ends up getting a job taking care of pigs, and the stuff that the pigs are eating is looking really tempting to him, but he can't have it. He's at the bottom. He has hit rock bottom, completely lost. We all have this time in our lives when we've hit rock bottom, when we know there's nowhere to go but up, when we're completely lost and we don't know what to do and we're just reaching for something. And in this moment, this man, he has this thought and he says, "Even my father's servants live better than this. Maybe I can go to my father and I can beg him, please take me back. Let me serve you. Maybe I can do that." And he's working on this speech and he has this plan, so he starts to head home. But as he's heading home, his father sees him coming at a distance. They say he's far off. And when his father sees him, he goes running to his son. He takes him up, he embraces him, he kisses him. He is so happy that his son has returned. And he throws a party and he takes the fattened calf, something he was saving for a special occasion. He says, "I'm going to use this now in this moment because this is so important. This is a victory. This needs to be celebrated." And Jesus tells this parable, and he is trying to illustrate to us how important the lost are. And when one comes home, how we should excite, how we should rejoice. It says in Scripture that the angels rejoice every time someone comes to know the Lord, every time someone accepts Jesus into their life, every time they're made a new creation, there is a celebration. We need more celebrations in here. We need more victories in here. We need to get a hold of the purpose and the vision of this church to reach those people who need him the most. Those people who are at the bottom of the barrel. Those people who are at their wits' end and have nothing left to give. Those are the people we need to be concerned about. Amen? This is what it's like to be in a relationship with God. You are utterly and completely lost. You're wandering around. You're blind. And then all of a sudden, you experience Jesus. And somehow, your life is never the same. You don't look at anything the same. Everything is turned upside down. And those people that you knew that followed Jesus and they did these weird things and you thought they were crazy, all of a sudden it starts to make sense. And you're like, that's why they live that way of life. That's why they're content in the midst of the storm. They have such an anchor, something to hold on to. But for some of us, that experience gets to be longer and longer away. We start to forget about it after decades and decades. And that's a shame, because that is what it's all about, bringing people to Jesus. Isn't your faith something that you should be sharing? Shouldn't we all be running out these doors right now and showing people the love of Jesus? Isn't that the main point of being a Christian, is so that we can bring other people into the fold, make other believers, so they can experience it with us? If you have the greatest gift and the greatest joy, and you're the only one who has it, and you keep it to yourself, it dies, it goes out. I'm telling you that today, and the reason why some people feel away from God, even though they are serving God, is because they aren't sharing God with those around them. And that is what we need to be doing. Because two things happen. Yes, you'll reach people for Jesus, but also your personal faith walk, it'll grow. It'll be more exciting. It'll be more vibrant. It'll be more real. You'll have something tangible. It won't just be a thought in your head, but you will actually see miracles and you will see people coming to Jesus. Doesn't that sound amazing? Doesn't that sound wonderful? So much more than mundane. Not only will others be saved, but you will be filled with purpose. God designed us to be generous. Last week, Maravik, right here, she was talking about our missions that we do in the Philippines. It's such a great, great mission. But she said something that struck me. She said, you don't know true poverty until you experience it. She said, it's hard to explain. It's hard to explain. You know why it's hard to explain? Because we have it so good. Do you realize if you have running water and food to eat, you are in the top 10% wealthiest people on this earth? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that mind-boggling? I was reading that we have enough food to feed the entire world. God has provided more than enough for everyone to eat. But the way we distribute it is completely unbalanced. And you can see it. You go to a restaurant, you get this huge portion size. Oh, I can't finish my plate. They throw it in the garbage. Right? You throw your leftovers out sometimes. We go through carrots, and if one doesn't look good, you know what they do? They throw it away. They want everything to look just perfect for us here in our culture. All our veggies, they got to look without blemish, without spot. They all taste the same. But this is how we distribute our world. We are so fortunate here. It is so hard to explain to you what true poverty is. One of the ways we can bridge the gap and bring people to Jesus is through our generosity. It's an amazing way. Find people and fill those needs. Start by filling their physical needs and their emotional needs, and you're going to be surprised at how open they are to receiving the spiritual needs to be filled by us. You can't just go to people and preach Jesus and drill it down their throat. But if you show them generosity, if you show them love, if you feed them, then they will come to know Jesus. And this is straight from Jesus' ministry. He knew this. He said he was the bread of life. And when you eat that bread, you will never hunger again. Jesus will fill needs that are so much more than physical. God will supply all of our needs. You don't need to worry about what to eat, what to drink, what to wear. He promises us this. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. Just share what you have. Share what you have and you will be given more. I'm so impressed at people that are completely generous, and some of those people are the most content people I have ever met. I've never met someone who's incredibly generous who doesn't have a smile on their face. They don't complain as often. They don't complain about the weather. They don't complain about what's happening in the world because they have something so much better. They're preoccupied with helping other people, with being generous, with sharing what they have. It's an amazing way to live. And the Bible says that the world of the generous gets larger and larger. Don't you want a huge world? Don't you want a huge sphere of influence? Then start giving more. Serve in local ministries. Help the homeless. Go overseas on mission trips. Feed the hungry. Rescue children from the slums. Go to the dump in Kenya and save babies out of there. That's what a man named Brian Thompson did. There's a slide up earlier about his book called Meant for More, and I read this book. I encourage you to read it. And that's what he does. He literally helps people. He rescues babies from the dump in Kenya. He puts them in a home, Home of Hope. People can sponsor them. They're given a new lease on life. They're given an education. He goes to widows, and he brings them, and he teaches them businesses. They become entrepreneurs. He sets them up. You know, some of them have street vending, things where they have food and a ministry, and some of them make clothes, and they sell these, and they support their family. He's not just giving them a hand up, right? He's showing them how to do it, how to make a living. And this is amazing. We need to be supporting ministries like this, ministries that can reach thousands upon thousands of people. One person can reach thousands of people if you're just that generous. Simply following biblical principles. This is what the Bible says, right? Feed the hungry. Give to the poor. Take care of the widows. These are all things that Jesus did. Jesus met people's physical needs first, and then he taught them. He feeds 5,000 people, and then he teaches them, fills them spiritually. If you guys do this with people in your circles, in your neighborhood, in your work, then you're going to be able to bridge the gap between Jesus and the lost. It starts with that. Another thing we can do is God designed us for miracles. Miracles. Waymaker, miracle worker. My God. That is who you are. He is a miracle worker. A big part of the ministry of Jesus was healing people. Everywhere he met their physical needs, right? We see time and time again Jesus healing people. He makes the lame walk. He gives sight to the blind. He heals a woman that's been bleeding for 10 years. He literally does all these things. He heals people from leprosy. He brings a guy back from the dead. Miracles. Miracles. We all need miracles. We all suffer pain in our physical bodies. It's part of the fallen world when sin entered in, right? These bodies, they're not our forever bodies. They start to decay. The older I get, the more I feel it. Every single day, I pray for healing, right? I believe that there's a time coming where God is going to move in a powerful way to heal the sick, to cure the diseased, and that time is coming soon. There's so many miracles Jesus performed. Right, we always say, God is the same yesterday, today. You were, you are, you always will be God. We said those words today. We know that the God who did these miracles 2,000 years ago is the same God who can do these miracles today. Many of these miracles happened because of the faith of the person that received them. And a lot of them happened because of the faith of people close to these people. People around them, supporting them. There's one story where it took four friends to come together to help out one man. This man couldn't walk. So these guys, they decide to bring their lame friend to Jesus. And he wasn't lame because he was boring, but he couldn't walk, right? So they say, yeah, we're going to get together. We're going to carry you to Jesus. They heard about all the miracles Jesus were doing. And they said, yeah, we got to get this guy to Jesus. Sometimes the miracle doesn't come to you. Sometimes you need to go to your miracle, right? So often we get dismayed. We get worried and we get fed up because, God, you're not answering my prayer. Jesus, you're not answering me. Why am I not healing? Well, you know, sometimes you need to get off your butt and you need to go somewhere. Sometimes you need to go and do something. Quite often, you need to help someone else. You need to be that friend that takes that person to their miracle. If God's ever prompted you to do it, and you're wondering, are you having that question, should I be helping? Should I be doing more? The answer is yes. Yes, you should. Yes, and yes, and yes, every single time. Don't ignore that prompting. Don't ignore that little voice that says, hey, you know, I just have this thought that I could be doing this. Oh, whatever. No, it's not whatever. It's, yeah, God is telling you, this is what you should be doing. So these guys take their friend to Jesus. They're walking along, and they get to the place where Jesus is. And this place is packed. There's people wall to wall. There's people looking in the windows, trying to catch a glimpse of Jesus. There's a lineup outside. How can I put this in perspective? You know, when you went to Costco during the pandemic, that huge line? It was harder to get in to see Jesus than it was to get into Costco. Like, literally, that's how hard it was. So the friends, they see all these people there, and they say, you know what? Sorry, buddy. It's just too hard. And they turn around, and they go home. No, that's not what happened. That's not what happened in the story. The four friends, what did they do? They would let nothing stop them. When you don't see a way, you tear the roof off the place, right? Yeah. And that's what these guys did. They began to literally tear the roof off the place where Jesus was. When you're bringing your friend to a miracle, you don't let something silly like not having a door or not seeing a way in stop you. You have to be intentional. You have to be intense. You have to have tenacity. You stop at nothing. That's what this is an example of. Talk about making an entrance. They lower this guy at the feet of Jesus. Upon seeing this man's face, faith, and I'm pretty sure Jesus looked up at those guys and he's like, wow, if you're that crazy, if you're willing to go that far, then I'm going to listen. I'm going to pay attention. Sometimes you need to get the attention of Jesus. Sometimes you need to do something crazy. Sometimes you need to say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go there. I'm going to do that thing. I know people might say I'm crazy. People might look at me funny. Maybe I'm giving my money all the way to this charity, and they're like, what is he doing? He doesn't even have enough to pay for his bills or whatever. But sometimes God calls us to something that doesn't seem right in the ways of the world. And we need to press in, and we need to do it, and we need to tear the roof off. So Jesus looks up, he sees these four guys, he sees their persistence, and he heals the man that day. Not only does he make him walk again, but he says, your sins are forgiven. This guy got a twofer that day. I think it's awesome. It's like a bonus. Sometimes when we get a miracle from God and he heals us physically, all of a sudden something else in our life gets healed as well. Sometimes that something else that gets healed is what's keeping us from our healing. We don't even realize it. But so many times when I've gone through a physical struggle, it's not until I learn the lesson that God's trying to teach me. Hey, Burton, you got to rely on me a bit more. Hey, Burton, you got to depend on me a bit more. Hey, Burton, you got to humble yourself a little bit here because you're not listening. So it keeps digging and digging. And then when I get it, I'm like, oh, the revelation. And my spirit is filled and I learn and I grow. And my physical, it's healed just like that. There's so many things that can be healed. I look at the story and I see the healing, and it's amazing. And also in this story, Jesus is putting the Pharisees in their place, but we'll save that for another time. Today I want to look at the four friends. I think it is so incredible how these guys got together and they said, we're going to help our friend and we're going to bring him to Jesus. Sometimes in our lives we need to make a way where there seems to be no way. So often we allow pride, we allow our fear to keep us from bringing people to Jesus. Things that seem so silly, right? But you're like, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to talk about Jesus at my workplace. Why do we allow those things to keep us from something that is so crucial? We need to start having our mind on things that have eternal consequences. So many things are fleeting in this world, like TikTok, literally fleeting. Seconds, 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 seconds. When I was gone, I downloaded TikTok for the first time. 10 minutes later, I took it off my phone. I could have kept going. Believe me, it was addicting. But I'm like, no, this is, what's the purpose does this serve? How is this reaching people for Jesus? Why do we spend our time on things that are here today and gone tomorrow when we should be focusing on these things that are eternal? Amen. Our souls are eternal. Our friends' souls are eternal. They are so important to God, and they need to be important to us. We are in the world, but not of the world. There are people who are out there who are lost. Are you going to go find them? The prodigal sons who are coming home. Are you going to run to them and embrace them with open arms? And there are so many people out there in need of healing, in need of a Savior. Will you carry those people to Jesus? Are you willing to do that today? We were designed to be in relationship with God, and we were designed to be in relationship with one another. Church is a great place to live out God's call for our lives. That's why we're in church today. I love the church. We need to be continually looking outward, though, and bringing people in, bringing people to the church. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Should not perish, but have eternal life. Let's get as many people in eternal life as we can. I see the church as a hospital. And Jesus, he's the great physician. If you're not hurting, if you don't need help, then really maybe you shouldn't be here unless you're willing to help others and you're willing to bring others in and give what you have to them, this amazing gift of our salvation. Let's not just have something that we go through the motions and do. Let's make our faith real. Yes. Let's make it authentic. Let's live it out. Will you do that with me today? Yes. Yeah? No, that didn't sound very convincing. Will you do that with me today? Yes. Come on. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for every single soul that you've brought here today into your place, into your presence. God, I thank you so much that you care so deeply about each and every one of us. We have this universe that is so vast. We have 8 billion people on this earth, and you know the number of hairs that we have on our head. Just like was said in that baby dedication, we are fearfully, wonderfully made, miraculously made. God, just marvelous. Every single one of us is your great creation, and every single one of us is so important. But God, We don't want to stay in the pen locked up with the 99. We want to leave with the shepherd, and we want to go out, and we want to find that lost sheep, God. God, I pray today that you will make a way for more of us to find ways to reach out and reach people for Jesus. And if you're here today and you have not met Jesus, and you have not accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity to do that right now. And if that's you, all you have to do is repeat this prayer. You just say, "Dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I know only you can take away the sin that is in my life. I thank you for saving me. I welcome you into my heart and ask that you would make it your home. I promise to serve you and love you all the days of my life. Amen."